Ring increases app security, rental cars and Teslas are being hacked, and MGM Resorts was also hacked. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morris, and this is ThreatWire for February 25th, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. If you are interested in supporting ThreatWire on Patreon, hit up patreon.com/threatwire. Also, I am having a really big sale on ThreatWire swag right now. You can go over to snubsy.com/shop, which will take you there, and that link is down below. This is basically so I don't have to pack up all my merch when I move to Colorado in 2 weeks, so any purchases are appreciated, and since I will be packing and moving my studio with me, you can keep totally up to date on my recording schedule by checking out my Twitter, which is @snubs. And don't worry, ThreatWire is not going anywhere. And now, onto the news. Amazon's smart-enabled Ring doorbell has been under scrutiny for the past several months due to their privacy practices and issues of security. A string of cameras were hacked way back in late 2019, way back, allowing strangers to talk to anyone, including children, that they saw on the videos. This happened due to reuse of passwords, and just a couple of weeks ago, Ring was caught in the crosshairs again for sharing data with Facebook and other third-party apps. This was after news broke that Ring partners with police departments across the US, which many have heavily criticized as creating a surveillance network that can blanket communities. Due to these reports, Amazon announced that it will be making two-factor authentication for Ring mandatory for all users. Up till now, two-factor was completely optional and it was not enabled by default. A user would need to go into the application settings to enable it manually. Now, after logging in with your username and password, you will also need to enter a 6-digit code sent to your phone via SMS or sent to your registered email address. Ring also has login notifications to help consumers be alerted whenever new device uses the account, whether that be a family member or a device that should not have access. Now, for what it's worth, and I have not seen many people mention this, this is a positive move, but it is still SMS-based two-factor authentication or email-based, which is the weakest version of two-factor authentication. What they should do is implement app-based 2FA or a hardware token option or even a biometrics option. Each of these is a little bit more complex, but they are also a lot more secure because the 2FA code couldn't be SIM-swapped or stolen if somebody had your email address password. This news comes about a week after Google also announced that they too would be making 2FA mandatory for Google Nest products. Now, I did reach out to Google Nest to ask if they would be implementing 2FA via an app or a hardware token, and they said, once you've migrated your account, you will get more options to add an extra layer of security on your Nest account. Aside from SMS or email, you may also use a security key dongle or Google Authenticator app as backups. Awesome. Ring is also reactively pausing the third-party analytics services they had implemented and will be providing users more options to opt out of or limit sharing of information to those third parties. Ring stated that they don't sell data, but they do share it to deliver the best possible Ring experience. I'm quoting them there. You can also choose to opt out of sharing info with third parties for personalized ads now as well. In a blog post published on the Ring website, Ring went on to recommend best security practices for folks using their devices, i.e., don't reuse your password, obviously. Keep your phone number and email address up to date. Add a PIN or a passcode to your smartphone account. That's actually one step that you can do to fight against SIM swapping. You can keep applications and smartphones up to date, audit trusted devices, and add shared users to the Ring account instead of sharing your login credentials. Or, in my opinion, you could just not use a Ring doorbell. That's another option. Some pretty interesting hacks are happening in the car hacking community, so I wanted to share these as a roundup this week. First off, let's talk about rental cars. Masamba Sinclair rented a Ford Mustang from Enterprise Rent-A-Car, and he used the FordPass app installed on his phone to control his vehicle. He could start and stop the engine, lock and unlock the doors, and track the car's location while he was renting it. Sinclair actually discovered that after he returned the vehicle, he still had access to it through through the application. He found that even 4 days after returning the car, he could still have control of it. Enterprise finally removed Sinclair's access after Ars Technica reached out to the rental car company about the issue, and this still took them 3 hours after being informed. A previous and similar problem occurred last year in October, at which time Ford and Enterprise both said that they unpair the apps after they are sold or rented to new customers, but this is not necessarily true. Enterprise simply includes on a rental agreement that customers should unpair their personal devices from a rental upon return, but that does not always happen if a customer is in a really fast rush to get to their flight, for example. Ford puts the onus on the driver or the rental agency, saying that they have visual ways to show if an application is still paired to a car, and they remind dealerships to unpair cars before being resold. And unfortunately, unpairing devices from cars is not just an issue for Enterprise or Ford. As an example, I rented a car last week in Colorado, and two phones were still paired with that car after it was in my possession. I could see a call log, phone numbers, and names for the paired phones that had been used over Bluetooth. While the devices were no longer in the vicinity and they could not be connected, the history was still listed on the vehicle screen. So to Maria and Peter, whoever you are, I unpaired your phones for your security. You are welcome. In other news, used Teslas are being jailbroken so buyers can use all of the software applications that they expect when they buy the car. Tesla has been fighting for years against this kind of jailbreaking and hacking with no end in sight. According to reports, a person bought a user's Tesla from a dealer who had bought it directly from Tesla. It was advertised to include driver assistance systems and autopilot, which were included with the car when the dealer had bought it. This package usually costs $8,000. Tesla had remotely removed that software, saying that full self-driving was not a feature you had paid for. According to Tesla, the customer would now have to pay $8,000 more to get it back. Tesla pulls software on salvage vehicles, and an anonymous employee reported that he could push the software back to a car if a customer complained enough about it. Since the car receives software updates for certain features, these software updates can also be pulled, and in the case of Teslas, they do this anytime an upgrade package is included on a used car that's sold to a new owner because, according to them, the new owner did not pay for it. Many equate this to stealing, since in effect, it's similar to someone coming into your garage and taking off your muffler or your new tires. Teslas are often declared total losses if they are involved in accidents because the costs to repair are so high. If a vehicle is considered salvage, which is totally drivable in many cases, Tesla stops supporting the vehicle even if it passes an inspection by their own staff. Thanks to independent repair professionals, jailbreaking of Tesla software and restoration of features is becoming more common, though jailbreaking does void any warranty. But at the same time, warranties are already voided if the vehicle has a salvage title. These jailbreakers are trying to promote sustainable green energy by helping secondary owners get the software they expect and not contribute to more cars ending up in a dump. Before we hit story number three, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. My Hush Puppy perk level patrons are awesome for sending in their fur baby photos. We got some new ones this week and they are so, so cute. I love them, keep them coming. And if you wanna support Threatwire, but you don't wanna be a Patreon supporter, check out snubsy.com/shop to get in on the discounts that are currently going on t-shirts, stickers, even my own digital photography, which you are welcome to print on whatever you want, all of which supports my shows. Thank you to everyone who supports this content. I truly, truly appreciate you. If you stayed at MGM Resorts in Las Vegas, you may have been involved in a huge hack that affected 10.6 million guests. A hacking forum posted details including full names, home addresses, phone numbers, emails, and dates of birth for those 10.6 million guests, including celebrities, tech CEOs, reporters, government officials, and employees of very large companies. The data was authenticated by ZDNet before reporting and seemed to have leaked leaked from a cloud server that was not protected correctly by MGM Resorts. MGM Resorts stated that this was linked to an incident that occurred in summer of last year, confirming the breach. They said that no financial, card data, or password data was leaked. The data appeared to be out of date from 2017, and MGM Resorts did notify affected guests last year, though they appear to have never publicized the information or went to any news agencies about having a security breach. While the data appears to be from 2017, there is still a threat of SIM swapping or phishing, since it is rare for a person to change their email address or their phone number. Because of this, any data that is leaked and publicized online should be taken seriously, and consumers should take proper steps to best protect themselves from attacks, especially since we obviously can't trust companies to do this for us. Ensuring that your phone carrier has protections on your SIM and your phone number, using two-factor authentication, and implementing better security hygiene online can all help whenever data is leaked. Now, before I leave, I want to say thank you so very much to Christopher, Greg, Eternal K-Hole, Peter, Matthew, Justinon, Terry, and Daniel, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you all. You are so awesome. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morris, and I will see you, yes, you, right there. I will see you on the internet. See you next time.